Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
You know the way your email inbox will tell you at some stage to delete old mail so that it can keep storing emails? Well, apparently the brain works that way too. Only scientists now think forgetting things like where you left your keys is so your brain can store other information. A book called The Psychology of Memory by academics from Indiana and Rhode Island colleges in the US says that our memory system is not actually designed to remember where we left our car keys. Dr. Keira Green is associate professor at the School of Psychology at UCD and has been working in this area. She's also the co-author of a book on the topic with Dr. Gillian Murphy from UCC, which is called Memory Lane, the Perfectly Imperfect Ways We Remember. That's going to be published next year. And you're very welcome, Keira, to the programme this evening. I suppose maybe as a starting point, are we misunderstanding how memory is supposed to work then?
Well, I think we are in a lot of ways. I think people often have a sort of unrealistic expectation of what their memory should be able to do. And also, I would push back a bit on what you said there in your introduction about that idea of, you know, like memory being like almost like a store that gets filled up and then we fill it up with new information. Because really, so a lot of people will think of memory that way. They'll think of it like it's like a filing cabinet, you know, and you're kind of putting more and more information into it. And, you know, then eventually maybe it gets filled up. But and then, you know, when you want to go and remember something, you're kind of looking through the filing cabinet and pulling out something, or maybe like looking through a computer and trying to find a file. But actually, that's not how memory works at all. Memory is actually kind of reconstructive. So when we go to remember things, we're not actually retrieving it, you know, fully formed the way it was. We're actually rebuilding that memory every time. And sometimes that kind of produces some flaws in the way we remember. But on the whole, it's a very kind of efficient way of remembering the events of our lives.
Okay, because I have to say that I actually find the description of it being like email storage very similar to how I feel my memory works. Now I will take your medical view as your expert view as the way it actually does work, but it does feel like I have, you know, I've limited space and I might be the expert on something in one day, and you know, ask me about that thing 2 months later and I will not be able to tell you a whole lot about it.
Say one thing, when we talk about you're kind of having a limited capacity, it's not that you actually have a limited memory capacity, it's that you have limited attention capacity.
Oh God,
that we're only able to pay attention. No, it's not at all. It's totally normal. It's just the way we are. It's like we only have a certain amount of kind of mental bandwidth to go around and we can only pay attention to a certain amount of things. So a lot of time when people talk about, oh, I have a terrible memory because I forget to do things, I forget to bring a package to the post office or things like that. It's actually not your memories at fault at all. It's your attention. It's that you just got distracted and you're thinking about something else.
You know, that actually makes sense, because I find unless I really pay attention to something, I won't remember it. So I don't remember pretty much anything.
Really?
No, I don't. Like, I have a friend I use as my memory, like, for things that happened in my childhood. So, like, if I'm trying to remember something, I'll call her up and say, can you tell me who is that person we used to hang out with? And she will remember on my behalf.
You know, there's a term in the Irish language for this. When you walk in, have you ever walked into a room, Keira? Let's bring Keira back into the conversation since she is the guest.
Not all about me.
Have you ever walked into the room, Keira, and say, what the hell did I come in here for now? Hold on.
Do you know what? It's not even, that's actually a genuine psychological phenomenon. There is an effect. It's the door effect. You walk through a room. It's like this kind of, you walk through a portal and it's literally like your mind goes into another mental space and you completely forget why you walked into the room.
Yeah. Well, in Irish, they call it fógain mara. Is there a term in English for that in psychology?
There is. It's it's something like the threshold effect. I think something like that. I can't remember. I might have that wrong, but there is a term.
So let's call it fógain mara for a second, right? So why does that happen?
Well, essentially, it's because your brain is sort of usually kind of queuing up things that are going to be relevant at different times, and we kind of tend to segment our memories and segment our experiences into kind of different periods. So if you think back, say you try to remember all the details of everything you did today. Well, you won't be able to remember all the details, but probably what you'll do is you'll group the various kind of minutes and hours of your day into certain episodes. So you might talk about like, oh, well, you know, your morning routine, and you might talk about all of that as one episode of all the stuff you did. And then you might talk about maybe your commute, and you might talk about a bit about what you did at work. And then you might talk about long story about what happened when you went for lunch. And of course, you know, in terms of time, all those things are happening sequentially in, you know, chronological order, but in your memory they're segmented into different episodes.
Okay.
And we kind of remember them in those episodes. So then we kind of tend to do a lot of that in the moment. So when you walk through the door, it's like that thing of like your brain is kind of saying, and now I'm starting a new episode.
Okay.
And you often have trouble remembering the stuff that happened on the other side of the door.
So then if you do have that thing of walking into a room and forgetting why you went there, is that something then that is that in any way, for example, linked to age, or is that linked to how busy you are if you're a really busy person?
That's totally normal forgetting. There's that, like, so when I was saying earlier on that idea that we sometimes have this unrealistic expectation of what our memories should do, this idea that we should be able to remember everything perfectly, that's not what our memories evolved to do. And it's not a realistic expectation that we should be able to do it. So like a lot of that kind of forgetting is just totally normal. I was talking to a colleague earlier on today, and she was saying, you know, a distinction that she finds really useful is forgetting to go to the post office is kind of normal, healthy forgetting.
Okay.
Forgetting where the post office is the kind of problematic.
Okay.
Well, hang on a second here now, because I am awful with directions.
Yeah, your head came straight up at this.
My wife is fantastic. She could work things out almost intuitively, right? Whereas I could be driving to the same place.
I'm the same, actually.
And I wouldn't have a bull's notion how to get there.
I can't find my husband's house, for example.
Is that memory or is it a drive time thing?
Well, it's a lot of that is attention stuff. So, for example, if you use a sat-nav a lot, if you use like kind of GPS or a sat-nav to drive, it's a lot more likely that you won't remember how you got there. And it's because, again, it's a lot of this is about our brains are very efficient. They're very good at deciding where we need to devote our limited resources to and where we don't need to bother. And if you're using, say, a sat-nav or you're using the GPS or Google Maps on your phone, then your brain will essentially decide, I don't need to record this route in great detail. It's not necessary to me. In the same way as like if you're using a pen and paper to write down your shopping list, you don't remember your shopping list in as much detail as if you tried actively to remember it.
Okay, because so which is better for you then? Because, so for example, now my husband will go through life by putting reminders into his phone. That's how he remembers everything that's going to happen this week. Whereas I hold a lot of it in my head. Like the reminders are in my phone as well, but I also have like the diary in my head. Now, which is better for your memory? Because he then won't, like, literally, unless
well,
it pops up.
Based on your previous statement, you should be
remember.
Putting stuff in your phone as well.
No, weirdly now, I do remember what's meant to be happening this week.
Come on.
To see, it works
except
in weird
the
ways.
She forgets.
But I do. No, actually, I would have a very strong sort of grasp on all the stuff that has to happen this week. But, sorry, anyway.
There's nothing wrong with using technology to help you and using kind of hints and tools to help you. Because all you're doing is freeing up some of that sort of cognitive capacity to do other things. So if you're, you know, going to the supermarket and rather than having to kind of mentally recite your full list of, you know, all the things you want to buy, you can instead be using that time to think about other things. It's not necessarily a good use of your time and a good use of your mental capacity.
Except Kira Green. Dr. Kira Green, if you are using the other time to exercise the brain muscle, but a lot of us just don't. We just sit down and veg in front of the TV or...
So who are you talking about?
Nothing wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong. So another kind of, we're getting a bit sidetracked from memory, but another kind of misconception that a lot of people have about the mind as well is this idea that we're only really thinking or it only really counts when we're doing this very intentional sort of task-focused kind of thought. But actually, the vast majority of our cognition is the kind of, like, you think of, like, the iceberg. That sort of very conscious, aware cognition is only about 10%. It's a bit above the water. Most of our cognition is that stuff that's kind of below the waterline that you're not necessarily consciously aware of, that's just chugging along in the background. And that includes just things like mind wandering and drifting. And that is all actually, again, totally normal and important part of cognition.
Well, okay. this
so
might
a question
be,
here from someone.
Yeah. Can I ask this question first? This might be totally inappropriate for a short radio item. Where do thoughts come from then? If a lot of it is...
Oh, God, okay.
Nature of consciousness. is there a
short... meaning of life
wait.
As well while you're at it.
This occurred to me, right? This occurred to me out of the blue while I was out for a run recently. I said, where do thoughts come from? Because a lot of it is subconscious, how does it get into the conscious?
Honestly...
Wait.
Well, we don't have time for that.
We do.
We don't.
No, wait, she has a fantastic...
Well, you kind of do, actually. It's attention. Uh-huh. It comes back to attention. So when I talk about, you know, things being conscious or unconscious, I'm not talking here, it's really important, I'm not talking here about that sort of Freudian idea of, you know, these subconscious desires and stuff that are bubbling up underneath. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about stuff like when you got up this morning and tied your shoelaces, you probably didn't stop and do that thing children do about, you know, put it around the trunk and the bunny goes through. You didn't have to think through how to tie your shoelaces. You just did it. And that's a sort of unconscious memory.
Okay.
That's procedural memory. So you're able to do something because it's a motor skill that you've learned loads and loads of times. Same every time you go for a walk, you do loads of things. Most of the stuff that we do and a lot of the stuff that happens in our mind is stuff that we're not consciously attending to.
Okay.
But we can choose to consciously attend to it. So it's kind of like, imagine you've got like a big ship that's on autopilot and it's, you know, powering on through the sea. Okay. And it's just on autopilot and, you know, there's nobody really paying attention. And then somebody announces there's an iceberg up ahead. We may as well stick with our iceberg metaphor, although I'm using it totally differently now. And the captain comes along and says, I am now going to steer this ship. I'm now going to come on board. I'm going to take over the autopilot and turn the ship around. It can do that.
Okay.
So 9 times out of 10, the ship is totally fine powering on by itself, but you can come in and take control of those activities.
You're fascinating.
I just have one quick question from a listener, Kira, before we let you go. This person says, I have an amazing long-term memory. I can remember dates, what I was wearing, what happened, where we were from years ago, but I have a very bad short-term memory. Any idea why?
Well, these things all vary hugely. They vary a lot just from person to person. So we can talk a lot in generalities, but there are just a lot of individual differences. There are some people who have exceptional long-term memories that are very rare. These people who have these like extraordinary long-term memories where you can ask them things like, what was the weather like on the 1st of January, you know, 1983? And they'll go, oh, yes, I remember it was sunny. And I was sitting out in the back garden and I was wearing a blue dress with polka dots. And, you know, John Wayne was talking on the radio, you know, and it'll give you this extraordinary detail that you can then confirm. That's really rare. Most people don't have that level of memory. What you do have is people who will kind of spend a lot of time reminiscing and thinking about the past. And like with anything else, there's kind of a practice effect. The more time you spend thinking about memories, retrieving them, the more easily they'll come to mind. But, and we don't really have time, I think, to get into this.
No,
there is, of course, a caveat. There is a caveat that the more you retrieve these memories, the more flawed they can become and the more distorted they can become.
Rose-tinted glasses, I think we call that, isn't it? Kira, listen, it's been fascinating
to
talk to you. And thank you so much for joining us. That is Dr. Kira Green, and her book, co-authored with Dr. Gillian Murphy, Memory Lane, is due out in 2025.